It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mount Blanco Fossil Museum. What a place. It has over 100 fossil trackways, mammoth skeletons, mastodon with living bacteria, 12-toed horse, giant donkey, crocodiles 40 feet long, salamander 12 feet long, wagon trains in limestone, the world's largest bison, blue fossils, black, white, red, purple, brown, yellow, gray, and clear, dinosaur soft tissue, Bigfoot, Mothman, Dogman, Chupacabra, elongated Peruvian skulls, UFOs, giant men, all here at the Mount Blanco Fossil Museum. 124 West Main Street, Crosbyton, Texas, 79322. Open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at www.mountblanco.com. Call 806-675-7777 or email us at mountblanco1 at AOL.com. Greene County, Pennsylvania, was unknown to paranormal enthusiasts until the Kevin Paul Amazon bestseller Haunted Hills and Hollows, What Lurks in Greene County, Pennsylvania, revealed the phenomena lurking in and the haunted history of the southwestern corner of the Keystone State. Even more high strangeness can be found in Book 2 of the series, Kevin Paul's Haunted Hills and Hollows 2, still lurking in Greene County, Pennsylvania. One thing is certain, it is nearly impossible to be alone in Greene County. These riveting books, Haunted Hills and Hollows, and Haunted Hills and Hollows 2, by author Kevin Paul, in paperback, Kindle, and audiobooks are available now on Amazon. Beaming to you like a whirlwind, in syndication and on all the apps worldwide, you are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Well, everybody, I hope you're having a great day down at the compound. Well, we not broke 90s today. It's been in the 80s. It's nice. I'm not, well, suffering here with heat stroke in the studio. Last night, we hit over 100 in here doing the show. And I'll tell you what, I felt like I was in a sauna. Well, in the news, oh, gee, every day, there's nothing really good in the news, is it? Well, now, a troubling research shows that warm water coming from the equator is rushing towards, well, the biggest ice sheet in Antarctica. What's that mean? It's going to melt all the sooner. And as I was mentioning last night, there's a volcano under one of the major ice sheets, too, and that's melting it. I tell you, now's the time, if you own property in Florida or on the East Coast, beachfront property, sell it. Because in the next probably 5 years, it will be underwater. Hey, you'll have water rights, but you won't have any place to, you know, park your trailer or maybe even live. That's getting scary. Well, in Iceland, a volcano is ready to erupt. What's that mean to you? Well, it means it's going to be a major, major eruption. It's going to cause air traffic from Europe to United States and all over Europe to be grounded, maybe for a week or two. That is sure going to affect the economy. It's going to affect everything. If you remember what happened here when Mount St. Helens went, boy, I tell you, it was horrible, especially in Washington. It was snowing. Well, guess what? Ash. And I remember going out in the yard and there was about like 6 inches of ash. It was ash everywhere. Well, also in the news, they ran a computer program to predict what would happen with our world, our society. And the computer came back, the artificial intelligence, and said, basically, we're doomed. And it said in the next 20, 30 years from now that, according to the computer, it's predicting we're not going to be here. Think of Mad Max and then multiply that by two. That's what the computer came up with. And who knows? Could it be? I don't know. I won't be here to find out. Could you imagine this lady back in 1980? She was on her way to visit her boyfriend. It was below zero. Her car, well, died. So she decided, hey, I'll walk the quarter mile to my boyfriend's house. And she did. She had a kind of a winter coat and boots, no gloves, and she made it almost all the way to her boyfriend's house. And what happened is she fell and hit her head and went unconscious. Her boyfriend, you know, went out looking for her. He found her body. She was frozen. I mean, literally frozen, solid. By the time he found her, he drug her into the house. He couldn't pick her up because she was frozen. They rushed her to the hospital, and the doctor said she was frozen. Like if you took out a roast or any of your steaks out of your freezer, that's how frozen she was, solidly frozen. So they had nothing to lose. They put warming blankets on her, and they started raising her temperatures. All of a sudden, she came to. She was totally coherent. She could talk. And there was no damage from being frozen. Again, she was frozen solid. The only defect she had from being frozen dead was she had some blisters, you know, from frostbite on her legs and on her feet. That is strange because there's not been many people that have been frozen solid and brought back to life. And I'm wondering if these people are going into suspended animation with their bodies being frozen, can they be brought back? But the problem is the longer you're frozen, the more cell damage it does. So, you know, only being frozen for a couple hours and then the chances of reviving is a lot better. But, you know, even down here at the compound, we have a large fish pond. And we have huge goldfish, like about 8 inches, 6 inches long. And every winter, you know, we make bets. Except for the last 2-3 winters, we haven't really had any freezing here on the West Coast, up in the Gig Harbor area. It was weird. But the fish would be like frozen in the ice, solid. And, you know, the first time I ever saw that, I figured, okay, I'm going to have to buy new fish. Well, as soon as the weather started, you know, warming up, guess what? The fish were swimming around. They were totally frozen. They came back to life. Interesting, huh? Also, in the news, in Africa, a 65-plus story sinkhole developed overnight and filled up with water. 65 stories deep. And they're saying that earth changes aren't happening. Well, scientists back in the 80s, they had this idea, what good is the moon, really? If the moon wasn't here, we could stabilize maybe our weather. We wouldn't have to worry about the tides shifting and all that stuff. It all would stabilize. So they came up with a plan to blow up the moon with nuclear bombs. I don't know. Evidently, somebody overruled it. They didn't do it. They didn't take it serious. But could you imagine if no moon, you know, if you're out with, you know, with your date and you're out parking, I mean, you know, without that moon there, I mean, it's going to be a lot harder to get that kiss. Because you can't use that, oh, it's a full moon or half moon, and, you know, that romantic thing would be gone. Well, again, NASA, again and today, is they keep warning us this about the solar flares, the grid. It could go down. That the sun is in the most active cycle it has ever been since they've been tracking it. And it's a crapshoot. I keep telling people this every single night. You need to be prepared for an outage. Now, what really gets me is the Congress, the Senate, and the people in the White House, not this, even this one, going back to however far you want to go back. This is on the bottom of the list. I mean, we can sit there and give arms to, you know, to Ukraine. We can sit there and give foreign aid to all these countries. We can do all this. But if we get hit with a solar flare, think about how many people will perish the first 10 days. And then the next 30 days after that. You're talking hundreds of thousands of people in our country will die. And yet we can't spend the money to shore up our grid system? Or if another country like Russia or China decides to detonate something over the United States and take out our grid system, we're not prepared for it. And I have people say, oh, you know, I'm not worried about that. I got solar. I got a generator. Well, you know, that's not going to do you any good. It isn't going to do you any good. I mean, if you have a generator and you go start it, you're not going to have it very long, because somebody about a day or two after with no power is going to want your generator more than you do. And I tell you, we need to really push our government to really shore up our grid system. I mean, we're playing crapshoots. I mean, one of these days, you're going to go flip your light switch on, or you're going to be watching TV or listening to me, and all of a sudden everything goes dark. And it isn't going to come back on for a couple years. Just think about that. Well, again, a psychic says that don't worry about Putin sending missiles, hypersonic missiles towards us, because the ETs will not allow it to happen. Okay? Well, again, we mentioned a little bit about Jimmy Hoffa the other day. Again, now they're saying more that, you know, a lot of people speculated his body was under concrete, underneath a building or in a pillar of a building. Now they suspect his gun is buried out in, it was buried out in the middle of nowhere, which now there's houses there. Now they're thinking maybe his body, which was shoved in a barrel, buried where his body or his gun was, could be there too. So if you have anything going strange at night at your house, it could be the ghost of Jimmy Hoffa. We'll be back with our guest tonight, Michael. He's a psychic since he was a child. It's going to be a good show. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. If you haven't subscribed to our channel, shame on you. Go on to YouTube, hit subscribe, and hit like, or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Is your mind really a time machine? Can you change your past, erasing your past mistakes? Can you visit parallel future realities, drawing your goals to you like magic? At Harvard University, brain imaging techniques prove the human brain is a time machine. Astrophysicist Michio Kaku says thinking is really time traveling. A book called Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton is loaded with amazing new insights and jam-packed with thought exercises to build your brain like an athlete builds his biceps. It's the new psychology for the 21st century. Get and read Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton. Available on Amazon or at mindtimeandpower.com. Do you remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember, with your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, here's Gary. Michael Bodine was young when he discovered his psychic abilities. He spent his childhood studying with established psychics and going to psychic camp, somewhat reluctantly, to gain a greater understanding of his gifts. Through the loving support of his mother, May, he was able to mature in his practice while staying true to his own creative style. Michael has been a professional psychic for more than 35 years, giving readings, performing ghost bustings, and speaking at events and conventions. His clients range from celebrities like Melanie Griffith and Gary Busey to financiers and dog walkers. His book, Growing Up Psychic, From Skeptic to Believer, chronicles his life and path of coming to terms with his gifts. He is currently working on his second book and writes a weekly column for True Magazine.
Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you doing today?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I got to ask you a couple questions here. How old were you when you started realizing you had abilities, and did your family members have any abilities?
Yeah, so let's see. The first time I had an experience was probably, I was about 7 years old when we first started having weird experiences at our house. We didn't, I grew up in a pretty normal house, you might say. It was an upper middle class house. It was a house that my father had built, and everything was pretty normal up until I was about six or seven. And then we had this really odd experience, and then things just kept happening and kept happening. And I didn't think about the psychic stuff until probably a couple years later, that I might have had some abilities till later, because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what all this stuff was, what it meant. But the first time was, I was around six, seven. I'm the youngest of a family of four kids, and we're all about 3 years apart. And I have a brother that was probably 13 or 14. He was learning how to play the drums, and he sucked. He was really bad. And he was downstairs, and he was tinkering away, and we were all sitting around eating dinner. And then all of a sudden it sounded pretty good. You know, it sounded like he was pretty tight, but we assumed that he put on one of those how to play the drums by kind of things, because it sounded really good, you know, tight. That lasted for maybe a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden we heard the drums being knocked down and the cymbals being knocked down, and my brother comes flying upstairs. And in my family, you know, back then, my dad was a big guy. You know, he was a big, burly guy, big, like 6'6", big mitts. You know, he was all man. And he didn't really believe that men should show fear. It was one of those things he just didn't think you should do. And especially my brother, you know, he just didn't think that was the right thing to do. And I'd never seen my brother afraid because of that. And but he was scared. He was genuinely scared. He didn't want to talk about it. And it took us some time for my mom to just say, you know, honey, what was going on? And he said that he was down there playing the drums, and he sees this guy come through the wall and park himself right in front of the drums. And he got so freaked out, he just put his head down and started playing and playing and playing. And that's when it sounded kind of good. And he looked up, and he's like, oh, he's still there. And he's like, he's freaked out. And finally he asked whatever this person or whatever it was to leave. And the spirit just kind of went, oh, okay. And just went through the other wall. And that's when he came flying upstairs and told us the story. But, you know, at the time, nobody believed him. Nobody thought, you know, that there was actual ghosts downstairs, because we didn't really believe in that stuff. And so we kept thinking, you know, obviously he did something wrong and he was just trying to come up with an excuse. But there was this weird feeling in the air, like there was something weird, like somebody was watching you, you know? Okay, so about a week later, we're all sitting around eating dinner again. And this time with him, because he didn't want to go downstairs alone. And this is going to sound strange, and it was strange, but it actually, we had this Lazy Susan. And the salt shaker gets up and moves across the table.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talking at first. We're all just, you know, having dinner and talking and stuff. And this thing gets up and moves across and then drops between my mom and my dad. And when it hit the floor, we all went, what the hell? How did you do that? Because we figured my brother had hooked up some sort of pulley system, you know, because we had been giving him so much crap about, you know, inviting his friend over for dinner and how's your friend and all that kind of stuff. But he was like relieved. He was like, see, I told you there's something in this house. There's something in this house. And my dad was like, oh, cut this crap out. No, come on. What's going on? And he was mad. And we were all just like, wow, how did you, that was pretty amazing that you did that. But again, there was that weird feeling in the air. It was like, it's hard to describe, but it's like this weird feeling. And then more and more stuff started happening. Not all at the same time, and not to just one person. Sometimes it would happen during the day, or sometimes it would happen at night. Like, you know, lights would go on and off, and you could say, oh, it's just the electricity. Or you'd open up a cupboard, and stuff would slide out in your hand.
Now, Michael, I got to ask you a question. Okay,
sure.
Now, your brother was sucking playing the drums. He was down there. He didn't play it good. All of a sudden, he started playing good. But before that happened, how long were you in that house? I mean, did you guys just purchase it, or were you there for a while?
Yeah, so I moved there when I was three. So I had been there, 3 or 4 years. Before that, we lived in another house in another city. But, it was brand new.
Can I ask you a question? Could his drums, playing the drums, could that have brought some spirits into the house?
Beats the hell out of me. It might have.
Me too.
What I was told is that we were, okay, so it's a long story, but it's my stuff kept happening over and over again. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And it was happening, most of it was happening with her around. And she was getting a little nervous about being at home, you know. So she decides to go talk to our minister. We went to a Baptist church, and she decided to go talk to the minister. And the minister said that there was something wrong with her female parts. Like, obviously, there was something wrong with her medically because, you know, this stuff isn't real. And so she needs to go get checked. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor suggested that, no, maybe it's something psychological. Maybe there's something, you know, going on with her. Anyway, she kept going to these different doctors, and finally she ended up going to this psychologist lady named Mrs. Roop, who worked out of her car.
A psychiatrist that worked out of her car. That's okay. Wait a minute, Michael. Michael, have you ever watched Breaking Bad or
Breaking Bad,
or Sal, whatever,
Sal,
I can believe attorneys working out of a car, but I've never heard of a psychiatrist.
She was a psychologist. She wasn't a psychiatrist. She was,
okay,
but she was kind of a different newie, kind of a hippie, kind of patchouli smelling kind of a gal. She was very sweet, but just kind of had a different mindset on things. And she told my mom that there was this medium in St. Paul. I live in Minneapolis, and there was this medium in St. Paul, and that my mom should go see her. And so my mom felt a lot better, talking to this lady, because, she didn't have to get a pap smear, and she didn't feel so crazy, And so she came home, and she wasn't going to call the lady, because she was raised Catholic. And so, that whole thing was like, you just didn't want to screw with that kind of stuff. So she just felt better. But when she got home, my mom, I guess she used to collect Bibles, which I didn't know about, but she used to collect Bibles. And when she got home, all her Bibles were stacked on her bed in this kind of weird way. And when I got home from school that day, she yelled at me for playing with her Bibles, which I didn't even know she had. But she said, don't screw around with the Bibles because blah, blah, blah. But she yelled at all of us, when we all got home from school. And we just kind of dismissed it. She put away her Bibles, and she made dinner. And, my dad was out of town on a business thing. And but then after dinner, she goes upstairs to grab something, and she screams. And we all run upstairs, and the Bibles are stacked up on her bed again. And it was this weird thing, It was like, wow. So that's what really made my mom call this lady, this Mrs. Olson. Her name was Mrs. Olson. And Mrs. Olson, of course, knew all this stuff and said, I think you should come in for a reading and bring your daughter Echo. I have a sister named Echo. She is the oldest sister. And so my mom and Echo went to this lady. And for some reason, it really connected with my mom. She just really, really got into it. And my sister Echo is the kind of person that irons her socks, She's very neat and tidy. She just wanted to have a bunch of kids, you know. Gidget was like her idol, you know. No, she was just a really normal girl. And so when she went to this medium, she was kind of freaked out. And this medium told her that our family was going to develop our psychic awarenesses, and that three of the four kids were going to use it, and that we were going to write books. And so it wasn't great news for my sister Echo, because she was, you know, that's not what she wanted to do. But my mom loved this whole stuff. It was like she, it empowered her in some way. And so then when my mom got back, she decided to kind of investigate a little bit more. Back then, this is like in the 60s, back then psychics were kind of like a mental illness, you know. If you were a psychic, that was not good. And so people didn't talk about psychics. They worked underground, basically. And there was a group of these so-called psychics that would meet at this basement of this church. And my mother went to this place to talk to these people, and they got along with her, and she loved them. And there was this lady that ran the thing called Birdie, and they became really good friends. And so they started coming to our house, because it was a nice house and it had heat, and they started hanging out. And so that's how that's how I was kind of raised. There was always budding or psychics that were trying to learn how to do this stuff, and they were always at the house, and I hated it, really. I just hated it. I hate all of it, because it was creepy, it was weird. You know, the people that came over, they were always so strange. They, you know, like I say, they smelled like patchouli, and they just had this weird vibe to them, you know. And I didn't really grab onto it at all.
Okay, now Michael, we need to take a break, and then we'll be back.
Sure.
And then we'll talk more, because, you know, I got to ask you a question. When you're going to school and all this stuff, how did it affect you and all that? So we'll be back with Michael.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Right after this, you're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Again, check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Are you searching for deeper answers when it comes to experiences with the Sasquatch and other cryptids? One man who seems to be taking that deeper dive is Ron Moorhead. His incredibly clear, scientifically vetted Bigfoot Sierra sounds will send shivers. In addition to these recordings, he's written two books, Voices in the Wilderness, which is the chronicle of interactions that went on for years up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and then his latest, The Quantum Bigfoot, where he bravely goes where others fear and takes it head on, again backed by science. The disappearing tracks, the pixelated images, and the screams in the dark. All of this and more can be found at ronmoorhead.com. That's www.ronmoorhead.com.
Or to burn with an aching in my throat. There's something's calling now to me like fire, and it's you that I want to take me home. As you are kind, you are gentle, you are crazy, you are wild, you are strong, you are loving, you're the only one I want.
You are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network, the home of Night Dreams Talk Radio, with Gary Anderson, syndicated worldwide. Paranormal Talk Radio, like you remember.
And we are back with Michael, and I keep seeing him put that cigar in his mouth, and I tell you, I'm craving one so bad. You know, I gave up smoking, Michael, for 2 years, because my wife said, you know what, you need to quit smoking cigars. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You go out of the house for a day or two over the weekend. You come back. Guess what? You smell the cigars. So
I know they are bad. Yeah, that's true.
And so I finally, a couple weeks ago, I just, you know, I bought one. Now I'm smoking like about 10 a day.
But they're addictive as hell.
But, you know, I smoke them outside. I watch the dogs out there, and I know when it's time to bring them in. When I'm done with my cigar, I bring them back in the house. So it's relaxing for me.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Well, I just moved out. I just got divorced, and I got my own house. And so I could never smoke in my old house. And part of the fun of doing it is I can smoke in this house. But you're right. You know, you walk in the house, and you go, oh, geez, I can smell my gar. So that's not good. But,
they don't smell it. Well, Michael, they don't smell it when you're smoking one, right? They smell good. But after a day or two, if you come in the house, they don't smell the same as what you were smoking.
No, they smell like death on a stick. Yeah, it's not good.
So getting back to, okay, all this stuff was going on. People were coming to your house. How did your dad and your other family members take all this?
Okay, so everybody kind of handled it in a different way. My dad just thought it was just bull. He just thought it was total stupid, and it was bugging my dad because my mom was. It was something that he couldn't.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Understand. It was something that my mom could. And, like, my dad was, like I said, he was a big guy. And unless you could beat it up or have sex with it, he really didn't understand it. And my mom knew, was getting into all the nuances and all the different kinds of things. So it was a bad situation for those two. And my siblings, my other sister just kind of checked out. She was just, she just completely ignored it. And then my brother did the same thing. He didn't want to deal with it. Echo got into it more and more because she started to realize that there was something to it. And I was just like, screw this. I don't want to have anything to do with Casper or anybody, these people that are coming in. So we all kind of, we all just try to ignore it as much as we could, except for Echo. Eventually though, my dad and mom were playing chess one day. And this is after a little while of everybody being at the house and blah, blah, blah. And one of the chess pieces got up and moved and dropped on the floor. And my dad said, screw it, I'm done, I'm out. And he left. He just moved out.
he moved out of the house?
Yeah, he was done. He was just like, screw this, I'm done. So, and then when he moved out, it's like every psychic that was under a rock started coming to our house, you know, because my mom was like, hey, come on in. So it got way worse after he left, because he was kind of like the guy that, he was like the parent, you know, that kind of just kept everybody in check. But you know, we started having people live in the house because it was a big house. And so all these hippies and freaks that, you know, had these abilities, they started living there. And it just got worse, you know, it got crazy. Like, you know, back then people were just learning how to do that stuff. So they were doing Ouija boards and they were doing.
Oh, don't mention stuff. Ouija boards.
I know.
You know, I got to share this with you. I've been married now. I didn't realize I've been married. You ready for this? 45 years. I thought it was like 43. 45 years to my current wife.
Wow.
I was married to, I've been married quite a few times. Being in, you know, because I was a celebrity when I was young. My first marriage was to a former Miss Washington. I didn't know she was a witch. And I was doing a radio show, plus I was working in a cement company trying to make money, you know, because radio back then didn't pay much. And I came home to our studio apartment early because I was not feeling good. Here is all these people dressed in robes. Here they had this weird star type thing, you know, with chalk on the linoleum.
Sure, the pencil and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we had a linoleum front room floor, no carpet, I'll tell you. And they had a candle going, and they had a Ouija board.
Ouija boards are so dumb. Yeah, they're so bad. But yeah,
I didn't realize they were, you know, practicing witchcraft in the evil side.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, generally, yeah, that's like a clue that it's kind of a darker kind of thing with the whole Ouija board. We found later on that, you know, Ouija boards were bad. We burned it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they didn't know. A lot of these guys didn't know. They were just trying to figure this stuff out. So they were bringing in a lot of ghosts, you know, like ghosts would show up at our house more and more. And I'd bring friends of mine home from school and they would see a ghost. And it was embarrassing. You know, it was like, I didn't want to really talk about that stuff because it was kind of like having an alcoholic uncle, you know. You just didn't want to, you kind of ignored it, you know. And then my friends would see these ghosts and they'd freak out and they'd leave. And, you know, you could never have a slumber party at my house because you never know what the hell was going to happen. And it was embarrassing. But then our house sort of was divided because my brother and my other sister, they got it, you know, they got into drinking and drugs and stuff, as you should have, because it was the 60s. And so they got into all that stuff. And then the spirits were all darker, you know. There was like the basement was just filled with all these negative spirits and stuff. And then upstairs was like all the happy, you know, good spirits. And it was a weird place to grow up, you know. It was a struggle because people knew about my family and they would talk crap about us to our face, you know, or they would say terrible things like, oh my, we're going to burn in hell and all that kind of stuff. We had so many Jehovah Witnesses come to our house.
Oh,
it was like the
yeah.
Super Bowl, you know. You know, if they could convert us, they you know, they get some sort of prize or something. But they
did actually, the Bible.
Yeah. Right. So there was always some poor Jehovah Witness coming in, and you know, the psyches just love to just go after those guys. But whatever, that's a whole other thing. But the neighbors at night, though, they would come and sneak in the back door and talk to my mom about all these things that were happening and what, you know, their dead uncle was hanging in their living room and they didn't know what to do. So my mom would go over there and help get rid of it. And, you know, it was just one of those things, you know, people knew about us, but it was kind of a hush hush kind of a thing.
Well, I got Michael. Okay, she would go help him, but here's the thing: I've talked to mediums and psychics quite a few for the years, and if you really don't know what you're doing, you got to be really careful because you know what?
No
kidding. You could have one of them follow you home and have a new buddy.
Did. Yeah, it was like the place was crowded. It was lousy with ghosts, and you know, I hated it.
Did she charge him rent? I hope.
No kidding. Well, we, you know, so I, like I said, back then psychics were kind of underground. And so when they would meet in these really different locations, you know, like secret locations. And we'd go to these places, what I call psychic camp, but these places that had different psychics for different reasons, for different themes, like nature spirits, psychics, or odd event psychics, or, you know, weird stuff. And I had to go because I was the youngest and my mom didn't want to go alone. So she would always drag me to these places. And so going to some of these psychic camps, there's a couple that were really interesting, but actually not that interesting, but they're interesting to me now when I think about them. But back then I hated it. I hated it. But one of these places, this guy drew pictures of what he thought were your guides on the other side, that, you know, he would draw pictures. And he came up to me and he says, "Hey, I got a picture of your guide." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever." I thought he just wanted me to get in his tent, you know, and I thought, "Oh, great, he's a perv and all that stuff." But he said that he had this...
it wasn't a stick man picture, was it?
No.
Okay.
No. But he had this picture of this kid. He was about my age. And he said his name was Jerry, and he was growing up with me on the other side. And I thought, oh, great, great, great. And so I brought this picture home, and then one day I could hear this guy, this kid, talking. I know it sounds crazy, but I could. And he was just, you know, really shy and really meek, and he was talking to me about stuff and what it was like and to be on the other side. It wasn't that I could only hear him. Other people could hear him too. And And so I became sort of a friend, it's going to sound really stupid, but with this ghost kid. And so he actually helped me with things like at school, like answers on tests and stuff, and meeting different people, meeting girls. And it was just a weird thing, but it sounds really weird to explain it. But, you know, you had to be there kind of thing. But my friends would come home or come with me and see these things or see Jerry, and they could see him too. They could talk to him too. And so I had him for a while, but then I started getting into drinking and drugs when I was really young. And then Jerry wanted to kind of experience all that stuff with me.
Now you got my curiosity up. How old were you when you started?
Okay, so I started pretty young when I was a kid. I was like 11, you know, back then.
I had to do something
for God's sake. There was a place that was, you know, scary. So, you know,
I tried drugs. You know what I tried? I tried in junior high school. Me and a friend went into the kitchen cupboard. We opened up a whole bunch of tea bags, got into my brother's rolling paper, and we smoked tea. And guess what it did? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It made us sick. That's what it did.
Right. I could only imagine.
But my mom's, I tell you what, my mom's cooking sherry. You know, we started out with a glass, and it was absolutely disgustingly horrible.
Yeah.
So then your second glass is not as bad. The third glass, it starts tasting good. The fourth one, it tastes really good. But now you're in high school, and then you snuck home you skipped a class, right? So now you got to go back to school, and you're stone-ass drunk.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I got into it pretty good. I mean, I got into it so good that I had to actually go through treatment when I was 14. And
wow.
I've been sober ever since. I've been sober for 50 years or something like that. But yeah, I got into it pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But at the time, it was the right thing to do because, you know, reality wasn't so great. And but as a result, though, I had a lot of negative, like, spirits around me. And and one of them was Jerry. He got to be pretty bad. He got to be pretty scary.
What did he do?
He was going around scaring people.
What was he doing? Scary.
He would show up at people's houses. He would. One time, a buddy of mine, who was this really tough kid, you know, one of those just tough kids, he was walking home with his buddy, and somebody tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around, and he said it was Jerry. Scared the crap out of them, and they ran home. He always wanted to kind of jump inside my body because he wanted to experience what it was like to get high and all that kind of stuff. He was getting more and more argumentative about stuff and demanding about stuff, and he was just getting more and more volatile, you might say. And so he would scare people. He would show up at people, my friends' houses, or if somebody got mad at if somebody I was mad at somebody. That's another weird thing too, is we had all sorts of different kinds of psychics at the house, and one of them was this old witch named Nonette, and she was always like cackling. She loved my mother, so she was on her best behavior. But I remember one time I came home from school, and I got in a fight with some kid, and I was bummed, and I was telling my mom the story, and Nonette says,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Honey, just give me a lock of his hair. I'll take care of him. And she would. You know?
Hell yeah. Did she make him disappear?
Yeah. Well, you never know. His bowels were going to lock up or something. And my mom was like, don't you dare, don't you dare. And it was that kind of thing, you know. I never knew if she was going to be able to do anything. You know, there were stories about what Nonette could do and all that stuff, but it was, you know, there was a light and a dark element to the whole thing. And In fact, that's why we had to burn the Ouija board, was because one of the psychics said, found out that we were playing with them and said, no, that's really, it brings in all these negativity stuff. Don't do it. So my mom tried to throw it away, and then it ended up in the kitchen again. And so she had to burn it. And she swore that it screamed when she burned it. I wasn't there, so I don't really know. But she claimed it did. I wouldn't be surprised, though.
I'll tell you this about Ouija boards. I was so upset with my wife, my first wife, Julie, that, you know, I found out where they were hiding the Ouija board. And, you know, one of my friends said, whatever you do, okay, don't put it in the garbage. And don't, he said, don't burn it. That's what my friend, of course, we know nothing about Ouija boards. And I go, okay, what do I do? He goes, well, if you give it to somebody, then that'll transfer over to them. So I nice. Honestly, about 10 miles from where we lived in, at that point, it was Kelso. I went to Longview and donated it to a thrift store.
Nice.
And then a couple days later, I come home. Here's her little coven, right? And I notice there's a Ouija board. And every one of these people with their hoods on looked at me and stared at me. And they said, why did you donate it to the thrift store?
Nice.
Like, how did they know that it was the one I donated? How did they recover it? That was scary.
Yeah. First of all, your name's not Darren, so what the hell's with all the witches around here? And so second of all, it's like, your Ouija board, get it out of here.
I liked to have been Darren. He had a good-looking wife.
Oh, wasn't she cute?
Oh, yeah.
I always had a crush on her. I mean, you know, and back then, it was great because, you know, witches, it was somewhat kind of, you know, our wheelhouse a little bit. But, God, yeah, Elizabeth Montgomery was so cute. Jeez.
Yeah, and wealthy, too.
But, yeah, we had to learn sort of through all trial and error kind of thing. And it wasn't, a lot of the stuff was scary, but, and I was scared to death of ghosts. And because of that, my old teacher, Bertie, she became my teacher. Bertie was like 600 years old. She wore one blue dress. She had like one tooth in her mouth, you know, she was like the sea hag and she could like read your mind. It was scary. She was different, man. She was scary.
I bet she was never married either, too. If she looked like that,
I can't even imagine that.
No,
but she was determined that I get over my fear of ghosts, and I was determined that it was a healthy fear and to just shut up. But she wanted me to go to these haunted houses and learn how to overcome my fear of ghosts. And so, for a long time there, I was dragged to all these different haunted houses and. You know, okay, Michael, go in there and confront the ghost. And I'm like, screw that.
Didn't this also, besides you getting into drugs and drinking and all this stuff, how about, okay, here you are, you know, becoming a teenager, right? You're going to school. You like, you know, you like women or girls.
Trying to be a normal guy, yeah.
Yeah, and here you probably had a reputation like, ew, you want to stay away from Michael. He's a little strange here.
Yeah. It didn't help the rep. That was another thing too, is I couldn't win for losing. I couldn't, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a football player really bad. That was it. You know, that was the whole thing. But then when you get into the whole psychic stuff and that life has meaning, that there's a purpose behind everything, it kind of loses that. You start to look at life in a different way. You know, like there is a purpose for things and there is a reason for that. And so it kind of ruined that for me. You know, it kind of ruined, I missed those days. Like, you know, people talk to me about being skeptical and all that stuff. I look at them not with anger, but with envy, because I know what it was like to be like that. That was great to be that stupid and just to like to walk around life and just think, no, that stuff doesn't exist or no, those things aren't real. That would be great. And I miss that, you know, but being exposed to these things and seeing ghosts, you know, seeing them not just once, but seeing them all the time and seeing things move and seeing the walls bleed and seeing all the stuff that you see when you grow up in this kind of stuff, it changes your thinking, you know? And so I missed those days. I missed those kids. I missed having a life like a normal kid would have, you know, not, you know, oh, ghosts, those are stupid, you know, that kind of thing.
Here's the thing, okay? Your mom and dad evidently separated, okay? And then was moving in, you know, the hippies, right, as you said, were moving in, and other psychics and mediums, or strange people, okay?
Strange people, definitely strange people.
Yeah, and they were bringing all kinds of, you know, whatever into that household.
Yeah, no kidding.
I tell you, that would have been so hard to grow up with that. Did you ever have any hostility feelings towards your mom because, you know, all these people moving in?
Yeah, you got to understand, though, I was a mama's boy. I love my mom. I did. I loved her to death. And she was great. But she, for her, I could see the change in her. Like, she was a stay-at-home mom, like I said, and all that kind of stuff. And women were treated a lot differently. Maybe not, but they were, seemed to be treated a lot differently back then. But for her, this was like an empowering thing, and she felt like she kind of found her niche. And so she is becoming a lot more confident. And so I could see the changes in her were all positive. So I had a love-hate thing for that. I was glad that what was happening to her was positive, but it, you know, it seemed like at my life's expense. And so, yeah. And that's, so when I decided to do readings, because I started having all these psychic things happen to me, and again, it's a really long story, but when I decided that I was going to do readings, I decided not to do it the traditional way. Like, back then, you had to be very quiet, you know, you gave a little water to the spirit, and then you would give a prayer and all that kind of stuff. I would do readings at, like, bars and restaurants, really loud, you know, disco places, you know, just scream across, your husband's having an affair, you know, just anything to get away from the traditional kind of thing, because I was pissed off about this whole stuff. I wanted to show, first of all, I wanted to prove to myself that I wasn't psychic. I decided to do stuff about the future, because, you know, obviously you can tell whether you're accurate or not if the stuff happens or not. And so I wanted to prove to everybody, look, I'm not a psychic. I might be mentally ill, but I'm not a psychic. And so I chose to do a future stuff. And then when things kept kind of happening the way that I thought they were going to happen, you know, I'd get lucky on some stuff. It was discouraging, because I didn't envision my life turning out this way. Honest to God, you know, when you think of jobs, you don't think about being a psychic. There's no psychic fair. I mean, well, there is now, but back then there wasn't, like, you know, you didn't have psychic come to your school and say, hey, you want to be a psychic? It was, you know, it was just something you just didn't, you know, it was like a nightmare of mine to be a psychic. And so I had a lot of hostility. I still do.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Now, we all have had had some encounters in their life, you know, that they can't explain. Maybe a loved one has passed and all of a sudden they came back and basically said, hey, I love you, you know, and don't worry about me. We've had all those things. But here's the situation. I mean, what is the difference between a medium and a psychic?
Well, mediums, you know, mediums, first of all, they're the divas of the group. They get all the attention. What their real job is, they call them mediums because they're the go-between the living and the dead. So they talk to your dead friends and dead relatives, you know. They're supposed to show you that there is this kind of other life. And how they do that is they tell you, oh, you've got a lady here who died from lung cancer. Her name is Alice and blah, blah, blah. It's basic stuff. But nowadays, mediums are just like, you know, people just think they're the greatest thing since French toast. And they're really basic things. A psychic is something that, like, well, they use it in a different way. You know, there's all different kinds of psychics. Like, some people find stuff, and some people, like we were talking about earlier, they find dead bodies. And some people, they talk about past lives, and some people are future people like me, and then there's other people that mediums. And for me, a medium is, I have no interest in talking to your dead relatives, your friends. I could care less. And sometimes when I'm doing readings, they'll show up and they want to talk, but it's like, dude, I don't really want to talk to you about it. But mediums are really good with that. So mediums are a lot better at doing that than I am at what I do. What I do is just, I get pictures and images, and they start talking to me, you know, people start talking to me and telling me stuff. And I can't find my keys to save my life most of my time, most of the time. So I'm not one of those kind of guys. And I don't, I'm pretty basic when it comes to psychic stuff. I'm just about the future, you know, stuff that comes up.
And now, really, okay, you know, but are? Okay. Now my Aunt Bertha passed away. Everybody figured she had a lot of money hid away. No one ever found it. Do I go to a medium or do I go to a psychic?
Yeah, you'd go to a medium because hopefully Aunt Bertha would show up and say, yeah, look behind the cupboard, because that's what mediums were supposed to do, that they're supposed to enlighten you to the fact that there's other things out there, that there's another power, that there is more to life than what you just think. And a lot of times they'll show up to a medium, like a real medium. They're tough to find, you know, real mediums. Like back in my day, God, that sounds terrible. But back when I was a kid, mediums didn't ask questions. They just told you. They would say, okay, I see this person. Nowadays, mediums are more like, is there somebody in here that had a heart attack? Is there somebody in here that you know, smoked or something like that? So it's more like a fishing expedition.
Yeah, I know. That's...
And it kind of bugs me. I don't think that's how you should do it.
Well, I had this medium on my show 3-4 years ago. For some reason, yeah. That's all I could book it. Well, maybe it was 4 years ago. I went through a stretch, like for over a couple months, almost every guest was a medium. And I had this one animal medium on the show.
The animals would meet it great, yeah.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, she was telling me what my horse was thinking of me. And it was really hard to me afterwards to go buy it hay and grain after that, because she said that my horse was unhappy with me.
Right. Well, you know, mediums aren't always right. Either are psychic. So I used to think that it was just stupid as hell to have a pet psychic. But, you know, I've met some of them, and they're actually really sweet. And some of them know what they're talking about. You know, some of them are really good, and they can actually be helpful. I just thought it was stupid myself. But, it's probably stupid to me because I can't do it. I mean, or maybe I don't have any interest in it. Or who knows? Maybe I just suck at that. I don't know. But I know that there's some people that are out there that are really good with that. You know, I think I don't, you know, how much thought does a parakeet have, you know, or I think it's helpful if it's like you're getting the wrong food for it, and it's like, hey, I'm going to die if you keep giving me sardines, you know, give me something different. And I know that it's sometimes helpful explaining some of the behavior of some of the things. My sister, Nikki, started out as a pet psychic, and she was great. It was stupid, but I thought it was, you know, she was great. And then she kind of started doing some medium stuff, and now she's a great medium. She's old school, so she's great. But and she can do stuff I could never do. But pets, like, you know, there's some really good ones, and there's some really dumb ones. But, you know, honestly, Gary, you can't spit without hitting a psychic these days. They're all over the place.
Oh, yeah. So, tell me about it. Go on TikTok. You know, here's I was watching a whole bunch of them. Michael, they had their little microphone, you know, and they put something over it, and they're going ooh, or they're taking the pencil and going around the microphone, and they're communicating with spirits through the microphone, and I'm going, okay, maybe I should try that on my show. Maybe I'll get more listeners. Hey, we need to go on break. This is about 4 minutes long. We're going to be back.
Okay.
And, you know, one person I've chatted with a couple of times was Gary Bosey. I can't ever pronounce
his
right
name. He's a good buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. And on TikTok. He goes on TikTok a lot.
I haven't talked to him for a while, so I got to talk to him. Yeah.
You need to talk to him. And I got to ask you, what got him into, you know, this type of thing also?
I'll tell you.
Well, we got to go on the break first. We got to pay for the bills. And I need to buy some food here next week. And I got to make a lot of money because food prices have gone way up. We'll be back with Michael right after this. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel and you're watching it, you're going to have Guido come to your house. He's going to break your legs and your thumb. Make sure you hit the like button and hit that bell for you're notified when we're on. We'll be right back. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
From Ray McGinnis comes Unanswered Questions. Unanswered Questions, what the September 11th families asked and the 9/11 Commission ignored. Unanswered Questions is a new book by Ray McGinnis. Ray has appeared on Night Dreams with Gary to discuss his new book, Unanswered Questions, an absolutely riveting read. Unanswered Questions is a chronicle of the efforts of the September 11th families to force a reluctant Bush administration to investigate the attacks, the questions they asked the 9/11 Commission that they ignored, and why it all still matters. Just like the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, the destruction of the World Trade Center is another cover-up. Unanswered Questions by Ray McGinnis is now available at local bookstores, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble's website. Pick it up today.
Or to burn with an aching in my throat. There's something's calling now to me like fire, and it's you that I want to take me home. As you are kind, you are gentle, you're crazy, you are wild, you are strong, you are loving, you're the only one I want. To hold your hand, but damn, I would love to be the last. I'll stand with you as long as you let me. As the future turns to past, as you are kind, you are gentle, you're crazy, you are wild, you are strong, you are loving. You're the only one I want. But I gotta tell you that I am bruised and broken. The truth has been spoken. These wounds I have ain't never gonna heal. And though I'm bruised and broken, my heart's wide open. I know who I am and what I have. What I have to do.
Now, on Fridays, you can call in and talk to Gary and his guest. Gary will open the call lines at 8 p.m. Pacific time each Friday. To call into the show south of the Rockies, the number is 1-253-203-6681. That's 1-253-203-6681. East of the Rockies, the number to call in is 1-253-203-6777. That's 1-253-203-6777.
All right.
Night Dreams Talk Radio would like to say a big thank you for listening to Gary and his guest. Gary brings back paranormal talk radio like you remember.
And boy, the week is going by so fast. Well, Michael is a really interesting guest, being a psychic. I'm starting to learn the difference between a medium and a psychic. And there is a big difference, evidently. So, you know, Michael, you had all this stuff going through, you know, being a child all through high school, you know, and then you started, you know, putting your career as being a psychic. And then you've met people, you know, some famous actors and stuff like that. How did that come about?
Well, so I was working downtown Minneapolis. I was doing readings just out of a coffee house, just doing, you know, the cool thing. And I was a young kid.
Were you smoking cigars and drinking coffee?
Yeah, because it's what you do. And this guy gives me the phone. He goes, "Hey, could you talk to my buddy?" Oh, God, what's his name? He was a famous choreographer. Bob Fosse. He goes, "Could you talk to my friend Bob?" And I said, "Well, yeah." So I talked to, I'm talking to Bob, and the energy is totally different than anybody that I've talked to so far. It was great. It was like alive, and it was something about him. I only talked to him for a little bit, but we got along really well. And then I found out his name was Bob Fosse, and then we started talking more regularly because I got lucky with some of the stuff that I was talking to him about. Okay, so what I do is I see opportunities coming up for people, you know, love, life, and career, and all that kind of stuff. And you can see that the opportunities are coming. But a lot of people won't take those opportunities that are coming. It's not because they're idiots or something. It's sometimes they're afraid. Sometimes they don't see it. Sometimes they don't want to see it. Whatever reason. But they won't take the opportunities that are coming. But these actors and these performers and these directors and all that stuff, they will, because they live for that stuff, you know? So I got into it because it fit more of what I do. Not because those people are great, because, you know, but it fits what I do. So he introduced me to some other people, and then I got to meet more people. So those are most of the people that I do these days are people in the entertainment field. Just because it works best for what I do. Like, I get like a lot of calls for readings, and probably 8 out of 10 people I can't do. Not because I can't psychically do it. It's just that there's just nothing to tell them, you know? There's just, because I know that they're not going to do the stuff that is coming up for them, because for whatever reason. And it's kind of a waste of their time and money. And it's a waste of my money or time. And, it's bad karma for me to do a reading for somebody when I know they're just going to join a bowling league, you know? So, I stick to the people that I know are going to do things, you know, take the opportunities and do stuff with them. So that's how I got into it. And that's how, like with Gary, you're talking about Gary, a lot of actors, they become, like, if they're doing a role about another person, they actually become that person. It's almost like the soul of that person comes inside of them, and they become that person. And for Gary, when he did, I forget whatever he did, when he did the what's his name thing, I forget his name. He said that he felt like Buddy Holly jumped inside of him, and it changed the way that he saw things. And he reached out. He reached out to a couple psychics, you know. That's another thing, too, about the people in Hollywood. Everybody's got psychics out there, you know. It's not like, I mean, everybody's got, like, a bunch of them. It's, so a lot of psychics work with a lot of celebrities. It's not that big of a deal. It's just, you know, there's a flavor of the month kind of thing. And he just reached out to me, and we just got along because I'm kind of just, I just talk to him like I'm talking to you. And so we became friends. Because, you know, like I said, some of the stuff that I said actually happened, and so it worked out. And then, you know, some of the people, it doesn't work out, because my method of presenting the message doesn't work with them, you know. Sometimes they need the Kumbaya psychics, you know, the people that are a lot more calmer, a lot more, everything has meaning and all that kind of stuff. I'm not really that guy. So, I've talked to a ton of them. You know, it's funny because people always ask me about celebrities, like it makes me a better psychic, and it really doesn't. Because I'm telling you, everybody's got psychics out there. It's not. It's just not that big of a deal.
Go on Facebook or TikTok, and there's hundreds of thousands of them coming out of the woodwork. No offense to any of them.
No, they're all over the place, and it's not like. See, Gary, the thing about psychics is that it's not about the frickin' psychic. Who cares about the frickin' psychic? It's about the message that the psychic gives. And each psychic has a different way of presenting that message, but it's not about the frickin' psychic. It's not. It's about how they present it and how they can get the message across better. And some people can give the message across better to other people than I can. And so they're better psychics. But I fit with other people and other psychics. I believe in telling other people about other psychics, because I suck sometimes, you know, sometimes I have a bad night. And I think other psychics are probably better at that person than I am. It's not about the psychic. It's really not. Who cares?
But Mike, how do you tell if you're, let's be honest with you, if you get a psychic, how do you know if you're getting one, it knows no more than being a psychic and I do, but charges you $250 to do a reading? You know, like that 1-800 psychic line?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, okay, so, well, first of all, I get referrals. I work with referrals. So the person that, hopefully they have, if they've had a good experience or if they had a bad experience or something, they can let you, you know, they'll let you know. But if the psychic is asking a lot of questions, I'm going to kill my wolves.
If the psychic is
asking a lot of questions, that's usually not good. You know, you can tell when somebody's fishing. I do believe that people have a gut feeling about things. And if you get a sense that something's not right, you know, I would trust that. I did write my second book, and it was supposed to be called Seven Reasons Why Not to Go to a Psychic, but the publisher didn't like it, so they changed it to A Psychic's Life. And what it's about is people learning how to trust their own intuition, because everybody has it. It's just that they have to tap into it, you know, and some people have it more than others, but everybody has it. So I think when you're wondering about a psychic, you'll get a certain feel, like a yes or no, like, yeah, maybe, you know. And when the person's explaining things, like, I don't charge until after the reading, because, like I say, I might suck. And if it doesn't help or if it sucks, you know, I can't really charge somebody. So it has to make sense while you're doing it. I can't ask questions once I start a reading, because it's another rule. There's all these rules in this stupid business, and that's one of the rules, is that you're not supposed to ask questions. It's just little things. But it has to fit. Like, if you're doing a reading, if you're getting a reading from somebody, even if it's bad news, even if it's like, you know, dude, you're really screwing up, you got to stop doing what you're doing, blah, 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 it'll feel right on some level, you know? But it's up to the person that's getting the reading.
Michael, have you ever did a reading and it came back like, oh my God, this guy is going to pass on, or this lady is going to pass on in the next couple days or the next month or so?
Yeah.
Have you ever got those?
Yeah. So I did this. So they're always trying to do a show, because I, you know, my first book, they wanted to make a movie into it. And they always wanted to do a show about my family or me or whatever. And so there was a production crew up in Minneapolis. They were following me around for a couple of days, you know, watch me do readings and all that kind of stuff. And the producers wanted me to do what that long-eyed medium does, which is really bad. You don't go up and do ambush readings. It's like a rule. You're not supposed to do that. But lady does it and whatever. And they wanted me to have that same reaction. They wanted me to make the people cry. And I was like, screw that. And so I had a big fight with the producers, you know, because they were bringing people in. They're like, oh, make them cry, make them cry. I'm like, you know, and I'm yelling at them, and they're yelling at me. So finally, the last day, they said, okay, we give up. We're just do a reading for a guy that doesn't believe in this kind of stuff. And I said, fine. So, they had a camera on me. The producer's in the next room, and this guy comes in. Nice guy. You know, he just didn't believe in this stuff at all. And so he sits down and goes, okay, what can you tell me? And right away, his guides tell me he's not going to be around for very long, maybe 2 weeks. And normally I would have come at it a little bit more calmer, like, hey, you know, you got an issue. But I was pissed off. I was pissed off with the producers. I was pissed off at everybody. And I said, look, dude, you got like 2 weeks to live. You got to get your shit together. You know,
you actually told him you got 2 weeks to live.
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, I was at the point where it's like, I was bugged.
I got to ask you a question. Now you just open up my mind. Okay, what happens if you get this feeling that, hey, this guy's going to die in 2 weeks or a month, right?
Yeah.
So the guy has like maybe $100,000 saved for retirement. He decides, I'm going to go get a bunch of hookers. I'm going to go out and party. I'm going to go travel, you know, the world, you know, like Ben Gazzar, that TV show, you know, years ago. So he goes through all his $100,000, and then 30 days later, he doesn't die. Are they going to be coming back to you and saying, hey, you owe me $100,000 now?
Well, it's a good thing I didn't talk to you before I talked to this guy. I probably would have thought about it differently. But no, I didn't think of that. No, I just thought they were clear. His guides were like, look, he's got this thing in his chest. He's got this issue with his lungs. His soul could decide to stick around, but he's going to have to think about it for a day or so. But the chances are pretty clear that he's not going to make it. So that's, that's what I said. I just, instead of just saying it like that, I said, look, dude, you got like 2 weeks. So what would you say to people if you knew that you only had 2 weeks? Well, then the guy starts bawling. And he starts talking about all this stuff, in his life and all the people and all the things that he loves and all blah, blah, blah. And the producer's like, this is golden. And everybody was excited. This poor guy wasn't. He was scared to death. But so then everybody, it was all done. 2 weeks later, the guy dies. And everybody's excited.
The producer.
Which was just, which is kind of creepy, but they were all excited. But they couldn't use it because the higher-uppers thought it was too creepy that I said that this guy was going to die, and he died. That was just like, hey, maybe we shouldn't mess with that. And so they decided not to do it. So even though I did that, what they wanted, it turned out to be bad. But it actually turned out to be good because they used the footage at his funeral. They used it as like a eulogy. He sat and talked about all the people that he loves and why he loves them and blah, blah, blah. So it actually worked out great.
Now,
so,
another question I got to ask you. When I was in junior high school, me and my best friend, Terry, we were watching a...
Terry.
Yeah, Terry. We were watching a old B-movie, voodoo, zombie movie. And
I love those movies.
Yeah, I do too. That's why we were watching it. But I had this one teacher, Mr. Bender, in ninth grade. The guy was always picking on me because I was a big kid. Not fat, but I was like almost 6 foot tall. Yeah. I was, husky, athletic. And everybody wanted to beat me up because I was the biggest kid in the school. And he would always pick on me. And me and Terry were watching this. Right. And there was a magic store about 2 miles away from, my parents' house. So we got onto what are so-called skateboards. Yes, they had skateboards back then, too. And I even got my tattoo right here on my arm. We went to the magic store, and they had all kinds of stuff. They had voodoo dolls. And we bought because we watched in this movie, there was a voodoo doll, and they were sticking pins in it.
Sure.
So we bought a voodoo doll. We came back home, and we go, oh, my God, we forgot to buy the needles. So I went in through my mom's crocheting kit and whatever and found some needles, and we started sticking them into his stomach, the doll, right? And then, then afterwards it was no more fun, okay? It was fun for about 10 minutes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, I put it in the closet and forgot about it. Monday comes along. We go to school. I'm in my math class because he's my math teacher. There's a substitute. And I asked the substitute, I said, well, where's Mr. Bender? Oh, he had appendicitis. He's in the hospital.
Way to go, Gary.
No, that's not all of it. That really freaked me out because here, you're in ninth grade, you're young, and you start in your mind, and me and my friend Terry were thinking we're going to be arrested, for attempted murder.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Anyway, here's another thing. I had this dream that Mr. Bender was really a weird guy. He had an old Plymouth or something. He had it repainted, and he, customized it. But it still was a four-door piece of you-know-what. And I had this dream that he was going to be coming to work, the school. And in the road going to the school, you had three roads you could come on, three streets. The football field for the high school, Chief Sealth, was right there. And there was a bank that went down like about 50 feet. And there's a sidewalk, and here's a road. I had this dream that he went over the bank and crashed the car.
Yeah.
Guess what? I told him that. The next day, I swear to God, this is, may God strike me dead. No, I'm not going to say that. Maybe I have, maybe my next cigar won't light. Anyway, we go to school. He's not there. We find out he had a car accident, that his steering rod or something broke in his car. He went over the, sidewalk and down the bank to the football field.
Wow. Jeez.
Now, am I psychic or was I a medium or what was that?
Or maybe you might be the Antichrist. I don't know.
I could be. My wife says it quite often.
I don't know. You know, well, okay. Well, sometimes it works in reverse. Like sometimes you'll get messages, the message first. And how can I explain it? There's a theory that like when you're supposed to get a car, they tell you what kind of car you're going to get first, so then when you go get it, it's the car you want, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, like in that case, maybe you knew on a psychic level that, was going to happen, but it came in reverse. It came like, I don't know how to explain it. You might have known he was going to have stomach issues, so you kind of did that thinking that it would. I don't think you actually caused it.
No, I don't think so. But it was sure a good coincidence, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but I think it might have been a reverse kind of thing. Like, you might have had that intuition. You might have known it was going to happen. You just didn't. You processed it in this way, if that makes any sense.
Well,
obviously you knew it was going to happen because it happened.
It did. And it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, too, I'll tell you that. You know, I didn't tell you the other side of the story. When he got out of the hospital and he came back, okay,
yeah,
he was so mad because he found out because he got around this cool. Because naturally, you're young, you're sitting there saying, I took this, doll and we put all this, right? He found out about it. He took me. He said, Gary, I want to talk to you, out of the portable. So we, went behind the portable. He picked me up and started punching me in the face.
Come on.
No, dead serious. Yeah, he took that as like I caused it.
Right. Well, if you could do that, you would be doing a lot of other things too, but that's ridiculous. Teachers were terrible.
Yeah, if I could do that, I would have no competition out there at all. They would all be, their microphones wouldn't work. Yeah.
You'd be rolling in clover. You'd have all sorts of and actually you can do all that stuff, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, that's ridiculous. That's too bad.
Well, you had Gary Booth. Who else did you have? It was famous.
Pick, throw a dart. You'd probably somebody that I'd probably talk to.
Shirley MacLaine. I met her a couple times up, and she lived up.
I think my sister has. I've never talked to her. No.
Okay.
Yeah, but and again, Gary, it's not, I talk to a lot. I talk to a bunch, and from the A-listers to the D-listers, it doesn't make me a better psychic. It doesn't make me, because I talk to whoever you can throw out there. I just, some people, like Patrick Swayze, I loved him. I loved him. He was somebody that I could not imagine life without him. I know that sounds kind of strange, but he was that kind of guy to me. He was bigger than life, and he was one of the special people that you run across.
With him, because his health issues, which he went downhill really fast. Did you see any of that?
So I got a call from him the night that it was a New Year's night, and he drank some champagne and it really hurt his stomach. He was worried about it, and when he called, I knew it was bad. I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't imagine. Like I said, I couldn't imagine his life because we used to talk all the time, and then I knew this was bad because it felt like he was going to be around for a while, but not too much longer. And I told him that. Yeah, I did tell him that he was. That was tough, man. That was tough. That was tough.
Yeah, because he had a hit song. He was really, a heartthrob in Hollywood.
And he was just a good guy. He was just a good guy. He really was. He helped me in a lot of things, just the way that I looked at life. He's, and there's not a lot of people like that. When you're doing a lot of readings for people, some of the people that I do, I love them before I do them. And then when I see them or talk to them on the phone, I want to burn my phone. I want to wash it. And then there's other people like people used to call him Buddy, that when you talk to him, you just feel like, wow, you can see why that happens. There's You know, Brad Pitt is another example of somebody that's just a really good guy, a really good guy, you know, just a truly a good guy. And there's just not a whole lot of that. You know, a lot of people are into their egos and they're into the next, they're so freaked out about the next opportunity, which is good for me, you know, because it's my job. But and then you run across, you know, some of these other people that are just really good humans. And so, I, you know, for that, I like it. But that's kind of more the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I, you know, this time went by so fast. We need to get you back on if you're willing to come back on for part two.
Of course, yeah. It's, yeah. You're, fun to, you're easy to talk to, Gary. You're just so easy to talk to.
Well, that's because I'm strange, and I don't know if I'm psychic or a medium or a tricycle. I'm not sure.
You might be a medium well. Yeah,
yeah, it could be. Well done, actually. You know, because of you, as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to go light up a cigar. You know that.
Oh, my God. What kind? Oh, I hope you do.
Yeah, yeah, they're the cheap, the dollar ones. That's all I can afford, being a talk show host.
I'll have to send you some good ones then.
But one thing, Patrick, he was really into trains, model trains, wasn't he? I don't know if you knew that.
You know, that's I went to his house a couple times, and he had a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, he was really into that.
I miss that guy. I miss him. You know, I really did. I miss him. He's a good guy. He was really a good guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I talked to him a couple of times because my dad's friend, I can't even think of his name. He played Rockford. James Gardner knew him.
I love James Gardner. Yeah. I wish I met him.
I didn't know who he was. He would, you know, my dad met him.
How could you not know him?
Well, no, but when I was a kid, this guy would come and visit my dad during the summer, or my dad would go to California for a week or so. And it turned out, my dad met him when they were waiting to be discharged. My dad served in World War II and the Korea War. He met James, you know, when he was waiting to be shipped out of Korea back here. And they became friends. So, you know, connection.
How cool is that? Garner.
Yeah, when I got older and realized that guy that played Maverick was James Gardner.
Yeah, and buck that guy.
Yeah, and my dad used to get so mad because, you know, James would tell me, you know, hey, here's the phone number for Jack Benny. Here's the number of Merv Griffin. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been in radio, you know, 40, going on 48 years. But before that, I was into CB when I was like 8-9 years old, amateur at 12 years old. Yeah. So I knew what I wanted to be. So the people like Jack Benny, Merv Griffin, you know, I wanted to. So, you know, he gave me the numbers. I remember calling up the studio that Merv Griffin, you know, did his original show in. And Merv Griffin spent a half an hour on the phone with me only because his friend James Gardner, but he told me how he started out, you know, as
cool
a radio and then singing in a band and, you know, to where he got. I had a rich life, you know, which, you know.
Look, it's not over yet.
Would you tell me, am I going to die next week? I want to know that.
Yeah, well, we better book another session fast.
Yeah, we better, yes.
Yeah, no, I, you know, that's one thing when people, you know, start to question whether I'm psychic, I just say, yeah, well, you know, you better get a blood test, and then I walk away, and it kind of gives them something to think about.
Now, do you have a website you can share, or any way people can find you?
You know, it's the same, it's just a michaelbodine.com thing.
And your books? What books do you have,
and
where can they find
them? That Growing Up Psychic, and then A Psychic's Life, the one that was supposed to be called Seven Reasons Why Not to Go to a Psychic, but it's called A Psychic's Life, yeah.
Okay, well, you're going to come out with a book, like 10 Reasons Not to Go to a Psychic?
Yeah, because, I mean, come on, everybody does not need a reading, you know? I mean, people can trust their intuition, they really can, I believe.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'll have my producer get a hold of you. You are one of the better guests I have for fun. I could actually be myself. You know, I'm not.
You're just so easy to talk to. I'm serious. You really are. You're just, you got that energy. You know, it's like talking to a friend.
Yeah. But now, because of you, I got to go smoke a cigar. Well, Michael.
Yeah, I'm going to do me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can send me a dozen or so. Anyway, you take care of my friend, and we'll get you back on for part two.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It was great to talk to you, Gary, really.
Okay, my friend, you take care.
You too.
Uh-huh.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, everybody, I am taking tomorrow off. I'll be back Friday. And Friday, we got a great show. We're going to be talking about World War III. What could cause World War III? What would happen aftermath if we had a nuclear war between, let's say, Russia and China, what would life be like? What could go on to trigger it off in the Ukraine? Well, I can tell you maybe like what's going on or did go on with Taiwan. That really instigated something. But, you know, we're going to talk about that on Friday. And don't forget, you can call in starting at 8 p.m. Pacific West Coast time. Again, if you want the call-in number, go to our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Everybody calls in. I got a whole bunch of this stuff from the Roswell Festival. I got some water bottles, some pins, real nice fountain pins. You know, it says Roswell, you know, we were visited. You know, everybody calls in on Friday will get a gift. So, you know, you might want to keep that in mind. And again, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. We're trying to build that up. Last night on the show, we had over 7 million downloads, 2 million live listeners listening to us live on the internet. And tonight, it's really crazy how many people on the internet listening to it. And again, I want to thank Michael for coming on. And, you know, maybe I learned a little bit and maybe you learned a little bit. The difference between a medium and a psychic. And boy, did he have a life that was a little bit different growing up. Well, till tomorrow, everybody have a good one. And I really enjoy you guys out there being listeners. So we'll talk to you on the other side.
Single single